Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to look into the subjects that are important to you. We thank you for the material that we have here, and I pray that you'll give us clarity and wisdom. Lord, work in our hearts now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in this book on having the kind of life that God wants us to have, talking about the key for a day that ought to be what God wants it to be, the essential matter of prayer is discussed. And we started on this chapter last week, but there was no way we were going to get through it all. So I want to again address the all-important matter of prayer in your life. Now, already been discussed about the fact that you've got to decide to get up on time. Remember that that one chapter, that irritating chapter that I had to deal with there. But very, very important, and to be very determined to get up on time, make the provision to do it, and then the importance of being in the Word and having the right attitude toward the Word. And then last week we looked at the first part of the this in choosing to pray and making that a key part of your life. And let me just quickly review the 10 reasons we don't pray. And I thought they were insightful. The first one was worldliness. When we're more concerned about just living the typical life and we're satisfied with that, then we really don't have the inner drive to talk with God. Then, of course, busyness. That's one of the big things. Other things are more important to us in the stress of our life than actually taking the time to pray, which, of course, is really the opposite of how we should be thinking. The busier you're going to be in a day, the more time you ought to pray. Foolishness, and that's a good one, because there's a lot of trivial things we do that eats up time in the matter of prayer. Starting on Sunday, I mentioned this and challenged our church this last Sunday. This Sunday, we're going to be challenging our church with the conference coming on the manifest presence of God. And I do encourage you, if you can get here for the Victory Conference, the first full week of March, Monday through Thursday, I really would encourage you. It's on that walk with God that's dynamic. I'm really excited about it. But in preparation for that, we're going to have a challenge to our folks to take the Hour with God challenge for 3 weeks solid, and to really cut out all non-essential technology, only that which is essential, and to really trade that for a genuine time with the Lord, and not just the Hour with God, but to take some special times of prayer. And so I'm giving plenty of opportunity for our folks to pray about it before they do that. But I think it's very important that today in our lifestyle that we look at, where are we wasting time? Where is the trivial things? And let those things go. Distance. Many times Christians just haven't had a relationship with the Lord, and God seems distant to them, and they don't pray. Or ignorance. We're going to talk about that today. Don't know how to. Don't know how to pray any kind of extended time with effectiveness. Then sinfulness. And God's not real to us if we're holding on to sin. Faithlessness. If we don't really believe that prayer makes a difference, well, we're not going to pray. But if you become convinced that your time with God is going to change what happens and your relationship with God, you will make sure that you do pray. Pridefulness, no dependence upon God, dependence upon ourselves. Inexperience, well, we don't pray because we haven't prayed. You know, just not experienced in it, because it is a spiritual discipline. And then she hits with the real biggie at the end, laziness. And that's sometimes just what it is, not doing what is important and not putting priorities first. So I just review that from last week. Now, folks, let me just give a perspective here. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. Well-known verses on prayer that I'm afraid are misunderstood, but I think properly understood, are powerful for us. We have this great epistle on fellowship with God, abiding in Christ, and the fact that we can have a dynamic relationship with the Lord. And here in the concluding chapter, he writes in verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, chapter 5, verse 14, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Now, unfortunately, people look at this from a fatalistic standpoint. Well, sure, he'll hear us if he's going to do it anyway, and if it's his will, and then if it's his will, it's going to be done. Boy, what a cold philosophical perspective on life. That's not why that is written. But here is what is important. You access God's will through prayer, and God's desire for man is not always accomplished because of man's free will. All right, the Bible makes it very clear. It is not his will that it's his will that none should perish. The Bible makes that very clear. Do people die and go to hell? They do. It's not his will, but they have a free will. God wants us to be perfect in Christ Jesus, complete in the Lord. That's you find several passages, especially in the Pauline epistles, on that. Let me ask you this. Is every Christian right now perfect and complete? We are in our salvation, but not in our practical reality. Okay. But that's God's will. So here's one of the great mysteries. The sovereign God of the universe has so fixed it with his dynamic interaction with man that he is overall and all-powerful, but he has given to us a free will, and he works within that free will. We are made in his image. And here's the point. If we can so know the Word of God and so spend time with the Lord that we get his heart, and we then understand what his will is, by agreeing with God about his will and asking God to work, now we unleash the omnipotent arm of God to do what he wants to do. I'm telling you, prayer makes all the difference in the world. Prayer allows God to do what he wants to do. Now that's a mystery to me, but that's what it says. Does God want every one of your children to walk with God? Do they always? But it's his will. And I'm telling you, a mom that gets on her face before God and cries out to the Lord to give victory for her children and to give her wisdom and her husband wisdom as to how to lead and guide them, that mother can access the miraculous power of God. I've seen it over and over and over. If you pray according to his will, he hears you. And once you get a hearing at the throne, you got it. My godly grandmother, I heard her say that all the time. She'd call up and she'd say, Wayne, we got it. I know what God wants here. And God has put these verses and this truth on my heart. We got it. You pray with me now against Satan that this will occur just when it ought to do. But God's going to work. And it always happened. Now, we don't just get up and say, all right, I'm going to pray about anything I want. I feel like I need a Cadillac Escalade today. So, Lord, I'm going to believe you. I don't think that's probably going to be the will of God for most of you today. And so we pray so we can consume it upon our own lusts. James chapter 4. But you know, if you have a car and a need, you really are sort of in a, this is really daily bread for you because you have a real need. You can start praying about that and you realize that God's hearing you because it is his will to provide for you. And he'll give you peace that you are praying properly. You pray for wisdom, you pray for direction, you pray for provision. And I'm telling you, God intervenes in your life and he'll answer that prayer. See, you know you're going to have an answer before you have an answer if you're praying according to 1 John chapter 5. It's one of the great joys of the Christian life that gives you rest in your soul. So, you got to really understand prayer really does make a difference. Now let me just say this. You know what our main motivation then ought to be in prayer? God's will needs to be done on earth. Did not the Lord pray that in the Lord's Prayer? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We ought to be jealous for the glory of our God. We ought to be jealous for His power to be seen, and we want to access everything that God wants us to access. By the way, you have an unsaved relative. Is it God's will that they should be saved? Absolutely. You can get on praying ground on that. That's a battle. They have their own free will. I don't understand it all. All I know is that God wants them to be, so you can be guaranteed as you cry out to God that the God of heaven begins to work heavily in their life. And I like the illustration of the hornets. A hornet cannot make you leave a room physically, but it can sure make you willing to go. There's a little song, a cute little song that Dr. Paul Levine used to sing about that. And you know, God's not going to make us go against our will, but He sure knows how to make us willing to do it. And I'm telling you, you pray by faith, knowing it's God's will for your relative to be saved, and you stay on that. Don't get deterred. Don't get disappointed. I'm telling you, God of heaven is intervening and working. And so prayer does make a difference. All right. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now, prayer is a spiritual activity. And so we're challenged here to have a heart checkup. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Psalm 139, verse 23. And so we need to check our relationship with God. I can tell you right now, we already talked about the hindrance as a matter of sin, but when your heart's not right with God, you're not going to pray much. The beauty of an extended time with God every morning is that you can't do an extended time without letting God expose your need and getting right with God. The beauty of daily extended prayer is that you can have day connected to the next day, connected to the next day, that you've actually walked in the Spirit. You've actually been right with God. And when one day connects to the next day that connects to the next day, and you deal with whatever's in your life and your heart is tender and you're open to the Lord, that's when growth really occurs. That's when your faith gets strengthened. That's when you are able to pray and see God do the mighty things that He wants. God's will for your lives is far beyond. It's exceeding abundantly above what you can ask or think. And you begin to become aware of that. You begin to get out of your little bubble, that little closet of life that you live in, and you begin to realize each one of us is important in the cause of Christ. And so you don't want your relationship. Listen, Satan's going to come along and he's going to tell you, you know, you're not right with God. You know, you're inconsistent. You're a hypocrite. You know how it goes. And frankly, we got problems. But you've got to not just not pray because, man, I'm not worthy to pray. Nobody's worthy to pray. That's what prayer is all about. You're humbling yourself. You're bowing before Him, admitting your need, and allowing Him to forgive you, and looking at His greatness, and accessing His will, and that's when you then get encouraged in the Lord, and your relationship then becomes real. You want to spend time with people you love. And so, folks, this matter of prayer is not a brownie point time. It's not a check off on your list of things you need to do to be a good Christian. It is your life. You are made for fellowship with God, and without times of prayer, you're missing the whole deep purpose for which God created you. It is so important. We're also challenged to check our lifestyle. Are you in and are you attending church where you are really challenged spiritually? Now that is teaching biblical truth. This book, of course, goes to everybody, and so I appreciate her challenging strongly on this. And, you know, who's influencing you? What people do you run with? You know, if you're running with worldly people that don't have spiritual values, you're going to have a hard time having a spiritual mindset to spend time with God. And sometimes, you know, you can be in churches that have a worldly mindset and not have a spiritual mindset for God. Church should have a dynamic impact on us that draws our heart to God and truth that challenges us. And so I appreciate her emphasis on that. And then check your desire. It's got to have, there has to be in life desire for good things. And the Holy Spirit puts that there. Do not look at prayer as a duty. Look at prayer as the golden diamond of your life, the great privilege to be in the presence of the sovereign of the universe that loves you. See it as the greatest joy of your life. You know, honestly, when you get to that point, prayer is not this hard discipline to do. Now, let me stop here. I've often said this. I can get people to read the Word of God, and they can be pretty good about reading the Bible. A man to get people to pray, it has been a battle in all my years of ministry. Why is that? It's a spiritual reality. And Satan, the one thing that he gets nervous about is when he sees you praying. Because he is a defeated foe. And when you no longer are thinking in the temporal realities of this life that he controls, and you're starting to think in the spiritual realities, and truth is grabbing your heart, and you're believing God, and you're accessing God's will, he is in deep trouble. So, is he going to try to get you too busy? Is he going to try to discourage you, get you introspective, knock you down? Do you think maybe that alarm clock moment might even be a spiritual battle? See, if he can get you not to spend extended time with God, then a lot of things that God wants to happen may not happen. It's a big deal. And so, we need to have a desire. There needs to be a heart desire, and God will develop that in you. One of the things that I just grieve about is when Christians look at these things as duties. Yes, in many ways, we need to see it as a responsibility. We ought to communicate with our God. It's the right thing to do, but it's the privilege. We're liberated to do it. It's something that God will enable us to do. First thing I pray in the morning, prayed it this morning, very seriously, Spirit of God, enable me to pray. Enable me to praise you. Give me the grace. He is the spirit of prayer. And we need to realize that we need his power, his grace, to be able to pray as we ought. Now, very practically, we get down to nitty gritty here. Helping this happen. Well, she does it again. Back to the practical of getting to bed on time. So you can get up in the morning. This is very interesting, woman to woman here. You know, she keeps hammering things and gives me an excuse to do it. So anyway, because I totally agree with her. Get out of bed in the morning, you got to get in bed at a decent time at night. And then you need to just take care of things and work toward a decent time to get to bed, because your time in the morning is that important. Folks, that really can become a motivating cycle for you. You know, goofing around for a half hour to an hour, not really accomplish anything at night, just sort of, you say, well, I need to unwind. Yeah, and just work on how you do all that, but try to have a set time. And then she talks about all the check the schedule for the next day. Start your to-do list. I would say a priority list. Have your Bible and prayer list in the place that you would have it be for your quiet time the next morning, and then get to bed early. Very practical. I have a very clear routine. I know exactly where my materials for the morning are going to be. I have things set out. It is very important that I can get to that after I take all the vitamins my wife has me take. And the shake she wants me to drink. Then I head right there to it, and it's all set up to be able to do that. And then start a personal prayer notebook. And she gives some good ideas. And of course, ladies do like pretty things, nice things, and all that kind of stuff. We do have, of course, here our Christ Walk Journal. It is in pink for the ladies. That's about as far as we went with decorating it. There it is. All right. Okay. But one of the things that was mentioned was, you know, not knowing what to do. I've had the privilege of being in a number of the states across the country over the last several years, having what we call Christ Walk Prayer Seminars. And pastors come, primarily. We do have laymen there. And we look at two things. Number one, individual prayer, and secondly, corporate prayer. But the whole morning, we deal with this matter of how to teach people to use their time according to the pattern of the Lord's Prayer, which was simply an outline. And these notebooks are set up to give you a plan so you know where you're going, and supplemental material to help you to pray. And so it's set up for an hour with 5-minute segments, 2 10-minute segments, one for intercession and then one for meditating on Scripture and coming up with your I will statement. And I have found, I just went back to a church that it was a year and a half ago that we had did the Christ Walk Journal with them, and I think about 60 people from the church came on top of the pastors. We actually had our own separate one the next day and spent the whole time with them. And I was working with all the Sunday school leadership, and they're going into small group ministry, and so I spent a day for a seminar a week ago. And it was just interactive with what they were talking about. Those people were still a year and a half later in their notebooks doing the hour with God, which had changed the church so much that they could get into this kind of ministry. And it was really thrilling for me. One of the sweetest things is to have people, I have pastors who say, this has changed my life. I mean, it has just literally changed my life to be able to have a definite plan and spend time. See, the nice thing about the hour with God is it covers every facet of prayer. The first 5 minutes is praising God, worshiping Him, and going over His attributes. I just love going over His attributes and just spending time meditating, and that 5 minutes just goes shoom, you know. The next 5 minutes is waiting on God. This is where you be still and know that I'm God. I like to focus on the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. I have things that I think about and just allow my heart to be quieted. And so the first 10 minutes are to bring us into full fellowship and acknowledgement of God. And we don't have confession first because that would get you self-focused. You want to be God-focused. And I always start with saying, Spirit of God, please enable me to really have my heart respond to You, to be awakened to who You are. And then the next 5 minutes is confession. And when you have really gotten encouraged about who your God is, number one, you know that your sin is against Him and it grieves you and you want to deal with it. But secondly, you know that He is a God that forgives and that He will enable you to overcome that sin, and you will have the optimism that comes. So the 5 minutes of confession become a very encouraging time, and you leave having claimed a clean heart. You're ready then for the next 5 minutes, which is spiritual warfare. You battle the world. Satan uses the world and directly attacks, and so there's just tremendous scriptures throughout the New Testament that are given in the Christ Walk Journal. And I go over every one of them and more. I did it this morning and just claim my position in Christ for myself, for my family, for this church, for this community. And God has promised that if you submit yourself to God, resist the devil, he will flee. He is a defeated foe. If we get on spiritual ground, and it's our right as a believer. In Him, as Ephesians 1 says, we're far above all principality, power, might, and dominion. And we don't need to live as a victim. But if you're in the flesh, you have wrong attitudes, you're going to be a victim. But you get on that ground. So here you start, first 10 minutes you're praising the Lord. Then you have the matter of confession. Your heart is right if you let God work. And now you've taken your stand against the evil one. This is really a life-changing time. Then the next 5 minutes are on the promises of God. As you begin to pray, God's going to give you truths, like 1 John 5 says, you understand what the will of God is, and you begin to start claiming things. Sometimes you pray for a long time about things, but you've got the Word of God that God gave you a real covenant on that, and I've got a whole couple of pages of verses that I'm memorized or memorizing, and I claim those, I pray over those, and that list grows, and it's just reconfirming your faith. Then the next 10 minutes are intercession. Intercession for your needs, intercession for the needs of others. And I'm telling you, 10 minutes goes fast. You need good lists, you need to be very thorough, and when people ask you to pray, jot it down, have it ready, I use the prayer journal app, which is the best I have found if you were looking for an app for a prayer journal, and it works quite well for me, and because I got lots of names to put in there, so it really does help to just be able to bring them up like that. But I'm prepared for that. Then 5 minutes of thanksgiving, thanking God for all that He's done, thanking God for the fact He's going to answer prayer, thanking God for what He did yesterday. Go over every event. I just write down every event and thank God for it. Thank God for the trials. Really get a right heart attitude. Just rejoice in your Lord. Then the next 10 minutes, pick a passage of Scripture, meditate on it, pray through it, ask God to show it to you, and let God speak to you through it. And out of that, come up with an I will statement of something that God directly has challenged you about for that coming day. And then that I will statement will be part of the next 5 minutes, and that's listening to God. You know, in my listening time, I prayed about, Lord, what do I do? Just give me the right angles for mentoring mom, for face to face. Lord, would you work and guide? And you know, and God gives, I'm telling you, in that 5 minutes, He can speak loads. And you learn to hear the wisdom that God gives. And then the final 5 minutes is praise and singing. Again, just acknowledge God's going to do it. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You believe that. And then sing, and you will be amazed. Those songs will stay on your heart. So that's the personal notebook I recommend. But however you do it, there's no magic. We use all the elements of the Lord's Prayer, the model outline prayer in that. And you know, a lot of times we miss a lot of those elements. That's why I like the pattern. Sometimes you have to condense it because of time. But I'm telling you, if you can spend an hour, it'll change your life. You're putting God first. I dare you. I dare you. You do have enough time if you want to. And God will start meeting with you. You know, not every time is emotional, but you will have times all of a sudden truth just gets all over you. And God really reveals Himself to you in a very special way. All right. She talks about something is better than nothing, and I understand that, and I believe you've got to pray regardless of how long you can do it, but I think a determination to have more than just 5 minutes right from the beginning is far better, because you can get in the five-minute rut, and I can tell you it takes more than 5 minutes for me to get into a spiritual mindset and get down to business with God. And she says, then step boldly into your day. And that is so true. Once you've prayed about it, once you've been through spiritual warfare, once you've claimed God's promises, you actually can have confidence that God's going to work. And even when trials come, you are on the victory side because you know that you're right with God. And God has shown you what He is wanting to do in your life. And you can be very encouraged by that. Nehemiah's prayer life is mentioned there in that little chart. I think you may talk about that some today. Everything he did, he prayed. And all of these matters are issues that women face when discouraged, when searching for direction, when seeking assistance, when under attack, when weak and powerful, when joyful, he prayed. And then the guidelines there at the end, determined to obey God's word, God says to pray. Let God know about all your concerns. Just talk to Him. Pray in times of trouble. Pray instead of worrying. It's really good advice. Take all your energy for worrying and pray. It'll change your life. And obviously, don't forget to pray for others. What a privilege. Out of time, big subject, but hope that's helpful. And I really encourage you folks, whatever you get from all of these sessions, this one you need to get. this one you need to get.